Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Cheater. One who cheats. A person who doesn't abide by the rules. Pastor Steve, when he was playing Monopoly against his younger brother. Cheater. Now, we've all heard about things like the Black Sox scandal, or Lance Armstrong and his doping, or Tanya Harding, or the Houston Astros stealing signals. When people cheat, it's upsetting. It's unfair. We don't like it. But when someone cheats for us, that's not so bad. Now, is it? In today's very difficult parable, we get to see cheaters, and they just might be Jesus. You see, right after telling the story, the parable of the prodigal son, Jesus continues on and tells this story that I just read from Luke's gospel. Jesus is telling this to the tax collectors and sinners, to the Pharisees and scribes, to his disciples, but it's a different parable. This parable is not like the mustard seed or the weeds and the wheat. It's not the parable of the pearl of great price, and it's definitely not the Good Samaritan. This parable condemns a steward for cheating and then praises that same steward for cheating in a different way. And so in the midst of all of the confusion that arises from out of this parable, I believe that it is about grace. It is about the grace that we receive and the grace that we are called to share. So our story this morning begins with a rich man discovering that his manager was squandering his property. Instead of careful and steadfast management, this steward was keeping some, wasting some, generally cheating his master at every turn. So when the rich man finds out, he demands an accounting and he fires the steward. Enough is enough, justice is served. But that steward, knowing that he can't dig and is too proud to beg, he hatches a scheme to ingratiate himself with his master's debtors. He calls those debtors together and he cooks the books. If you owe 100, well, let's make it 50, or maybe we'll just make it 80. In the moments before his job was gone, this steward traded away even more of his master's property so that he might find some friends when he is out and on his own. But the curious thing is that this time when the master hears about the cheating, the master praises that steward for his shrewd actions. Once caught cheating, condemned. Second time caught cheating, praised. What's going on here? What is Jesus trying to tell to the tax collectors and the sinners, to the Pharisees and the scribes, to the disciples, you, me, what? Now, Jesus has been telling stories before this, teaching us that God will seek us out when we are lost, that God will search and find and celebrate when we return. Our story today seems to run kind of contrary to all of that. But to me, it works when we look at this story as describing our relationship with God and God's relationship with us through Jesus. See, I think we need to separate the story into two parts. The first part of the story, the character of the rich man is played by God. And the character of the steward is played by you and me, by humanity. We have cheated God out of God's due from Adam and Eve to Lori and Steve. Had to do it, right? There we are. We were given all of creation to care for, And we haven't really been very good at it. We have been given one another and all of our human family to care for, to love as neighbors, as fellow members of God's family, and we haven't been really any better at that than we are about caring for creation. And then we think that we're the ones responsible for our salvation, and we blow that as well. We are sinners, cheating God out of the love and gratitude that God has earned, but we refuse to give. God has caught us cheating. God has watched us as we try to earn a salvation that we can't even really understand. God has watched as creation and neighbor are exploited and ignored, cast aside in favor of me, you. We are then fired, condemned by our own actions, doomed, but for the love of God. So that first part of the story, there we are. But you see, then when the second part of the story, when that comes about, enter Jesus. Jesus, who is God with us, who is God who became flesh and lived among us. And so in that second part of the story, the part of the steward is played by Jesus, and we are the master's debtors. We who owe God everything and cannot pay. We need help. And Jesus enters with grace, undeserved love from God. The love that Jesus brings and shows, the love that Jesus is teaching in parables like the lost sheep and the prodigal son, the love that carries Jesus all the way to the cross on our behalf, we receive that love as grace. We cannot pay what we owe. No one has ever been able to, and only Jesus has ever done it. And so we come. It comes to us undeserved as a gift. Jesus knows that we need the help. And Jesus is hoping that we will see the grace of God as real, even if it looks like cheating. You see, the Pharisees and the scribes would have thought that it was cheating, since those sinners did not keep the mitzvot. They didn't even keep a couple of those 613 rules. They had not earned God's notice. But Jesus is telling us that God loves all. Jesus is telling us that God cheats. The tax collectors and sinners know that they don't deserve the time and the attention that Jesus pays them, the time and the attention, the forgiveness, the life, the salvation that Jesus is promising. They can't earn it. They don't deserve it. And yet Jesus promises. God cheats. It's true. God cheats for us. See, this is the good news that Jesus is sharing today, that we who are lost in our sin are saved by the grace of God brought to us in the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. As sinners, we are cheaters. To save us, Jesus cheats, giving his life, his example, so that we can be right with God and that we can find inspiration for life as a child of God and a follower of Jesus. Jesus is definitely using exaggeration and hyperbole to make his point, knowing that something we need to be shaken awake to see the grace and the mercy and the love of God that is ours as a gift. Jesus then calls us to use grace and mercy in our daily interactions with the neighbors around us. They can't earn God's love any more than we can. So Jesus encourages us to live by the dishonest wealth of grace and mercy, bringing the love of God into all of our encounters. That can feel odd. It can seem to be cheating, and in a way it is, but it is cheating as God cheats for us in love, with peace and hope, with comfort and courage. We cannot serve God and wealth, or God and our reputation, or God and anything else. So let's serve God and God's love as Jesus shows us, teaches us, and inspires us to do. Amen.